What's up, everybody? This is Chubbs.
And this is Hardline.
This is number 0293, the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder.
And it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File Program, number 0293. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File Program, you'll meet travel expert Marco Aguilar, who talks about planning a trip that's not just about lying on the beach, but actually has a purpose.
Have a vacation with a goal. And I know it sounds kind of crazy. When you hear the word goals, it's usually related to work or to school. But time is our most precious asset, so we should make a good use of it. When you have goals for your vacations, when you plan to achieve something, then your vacations have a different meaning. And sometimes, you know, magic does happen when you're out there traveling and doing different things. And you never know, you could have a life-changing breakthrough.
Warren Green, founder and owner of Golden Girls Jeans, a fashion line geared to women 30 plus. What gave him the idea to start this line?
My mom had mentioned to me, you know, me and my friends, we go bowling, we go out, and we can't find jeans to fit us. We looked into it, and we created what's called a comfort jean. But lo and behold, the jean wasn't just for 50 plus, it actually started going into the 40 and the 30 plus because of the yoga influence. It's regular denim, but it's what's called a four-way stretch denim. There's no zippers on it, there's no buttons on it. You basically just pull them on, but on the other hand, they look exactly like jeans.
Science writer Andrew Vazakis, the night sky guy, on the plausibility of the Mars One mission.
This is a European foundation. It's a non-profit foundation, actually, a Dutch organization. And the whole idea here is that they're trying to recruit astronauts from the general public for a one-way mission. Basically, you get a one-way ticket with this to go to Mars and then set up a colony there.
And there's lots and lots and lots of stuff. And, of course, an idiot of the day. The guest Slater, the person who told you this was show number 0293, was actually two people. Chubby and Hardline, the hosts of Blue Wall Podcast, which airs live every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Ustream. You can also find all shows on YouTube, and you can contact Chubby and Hardline on Facebook at Blue Wall Podcast. What do they talk about on their podcast? Well, just about everything. So follow the links on this week's What's On page of the Stuff File Program, which you heard Chubby and Hardline say, number 0293, and you'll find the links to their show. And thank you very much, Chubby and Hardline, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File Program, a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, let's get right to the stuff, shall we? You know, when they say the job opportunities for young people are drying up, they are almost never talking about the adult entertainment industry, particularly prostitution. Now, while prostitution is only legal in a very small part of North America, hello, Nevada, in other parts of the world, it is much more widely accepted and mainstream. Germany, for example, where legalized prostitution is such an industry, brothels are now advertising for quality control testers to check standards of their services. That's right, professional Johns. The brothel in the German capital of Berlin is looking for both men and women to check quality, cleanliness, and safe sex practices, and to see that their brothels offer value for money. Now, according to the advertisement, the job is for an international company with more than 120 workers in Germany, China, and Spain. The ad claims to want people with a university degree, preferably a degree in business, experience with brothels, and a full health certificate. The ad says, practical experience with many years of brothel visits necessary. You should enjoy having fun with people, and you should not be afraid of contact. Okay. I have to ask, if they say that practical experience with many years of brothel visits is necessary, and later follow that up with the line, you should not be afraid of contact, then who do they think is regularly going to a brothel and not having contact? I mean, does anybody go to a fancy restaurant just for the free glass of water and breadsticks? Methinks not. Also, this is a gig where they can't complain about you lying down on the job, can they? Yeah. Moving right along, researchers are now preparing a study seeking to confirm that dog slobber by itself, and not just the psychological advantages of playing with and petting a dog, might provide human health benefits, such as relief from asthma, allergies, and inflammation. Specialists from the University of Arizona and the University of California, San Diego, point to existing evidence of the comparative healthiness of dog-owning families and suspect that canine saliva, like yogurt, may have unusual probiotic value. Yeah, sorry. I'm just not one of those people who shares fluids with dogs, so count me out. Yeah, it might be healthy, but ick. Anyway, a former Home Depot employee says the company fired him over a tattoo of his ex-girlfriend's name. Her name, by the way, Isis. Yes, a name derived from a fabled Egyptian goddess. The letters in the inner lip tattoo was written in capitalized form, I-S-I-S, giving it the exact spelling of an acronym used to reference the Islamic State, also known as the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Yes, we're talking about the terrorists. This is a quote. I honestly didn't know what the acronym meant until just recently. That's what Kirk Sicorso told a CNN affiliate. Now, while working as a Home Depot tool demonstrator, oh, that one is just too easy. Kirk said he overheard the term during a conversation and showed his tattoo to a coworker. Home Depot and the Florida marketing firm that paid Kirk fired him soon after. Kirk said both entities told him not to return to the store. Home Depot spokesman Stephen Holmes said that the termination was a personal matter and the decision wasn't just based on the tattoo. Kirk contends that he is not a terrorist and that he got the tattoo 4 years ago. He is no longer with the woman whose name is depicted. I feel a little lost, he said. It was a good-paying job. Kirk is reportedly considering legal action against Home Depot. Okay, I've seen this clown's tattoo, by the way. So, first of all, is it really the best way to show your love by tattooing your main squeeze's name on the inside of your lower lip? At least, she only had a four-letter name. Imagine spelling Gwendolyn or Shaniqua. And, pal, you just heard about the terrorist organization, which means you've been living under a rock for at least a year, and you broke up with the woman ages ago, so why are you literally opening your mouth and showing your tattoo to people? Seriously, some people get fired because they're too dumb to have a job. Now, who's the tool? Yeah. And finally, we have one more item in this section of Stuff File News before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. And okay, this is something that seems to happen way too often. 17-year-old Devin Gessel and two underage accomplices are the most recent burglars to make off with a deceased person's ashes, believing they had swiped cocaine. Disappointment resulted from the very first taste, ooh, and the cremains were immediately tossed from the getaway car. Who knows? Maybe they were literally trying to smoke Mary Jane. At this point, I have to remind you, Soylent Green is people.
Soylent Green is made out of people.
Listen to me, Hatcher. You gotta tell them Soylent Green is people!
Thank you, Charlton Heston. Let's get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Spring is the time to plan a summer vacation, but before you book that week at the beach, have you given thought to more than just working on getting that glowing tan? How about a vacation with a purpose? Joining us right now is travel expert Marco Aguilar. He's the president and CEO of TravelPie, and he's on the line with us right now from Mexico. Hi, Marco.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks very much for doing this.
My pleasure.
So you're advocating the idea of doing vacations with a purpose, not just a vacation to get away from your daily life, but a vacation to also accomplish something, correct?
Correct. Our most precious asset is time. And, you know, we don't make good use of our time. So the idea is, first of all, you take your full vacation. There's a lot of people around the world, especially North America, who are not taking advantage of all the vacation days they have earned and that they are entitled to. So do that first, but then also have a vacation with a goal. And I know it sounds kind of crazy, you know, when you hear the word goals, it's usually related to work or to school. But again, time is our most precious asset, so we should make a good use of it. And when you have goals for your vacations, when you plan to achieve something, then your vacations have a different meaning. And sometimes, you know, magic does happen when you're out there traveling and doing different things. And you never know, you could have a life-changing breakthrough.
Okay, so give us an example of the kind of vacation you're talking about where you have a goal in mind.
Well, for instance, you know, some of the things that I've personally done, I've taken some time off and I've gone to retreats or to seminars where I'm actually there for a week or 5 days learning something. Some of the examples that I like to give and the suggestions that I like to give are the Jack Canfield seminars. If you may recall, Jack Canfield is the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, but he's really more of a success coach. His seminars are really fantastic. He bases the seminars on his best-selling book, The Success Principles. Other examples would be to attend the famous Tony Robbins workshops that he does around the world, especially in English-speaking countries. And also, if you're more into wellness and maybe finding your spiritual being, I would suggest doing some of the Deepak Chopra seminars.
And I guess what you're saying here is if you're going to a seminar, seminars aren't all day and all night. So while you're traveling to another location, some exotic place, you're taking part in these seminars. Plus, you're also spending time sightseeing or doing whatever else you want to do on a vacation, correct?
Exactly. For instance, some of the seminars that I just mentioned, I mean, Jack Canfield, I've done a few of his. Some took place in Scottsdale, Arizona. Some in Las Vegas, believe it or not. Deepak Chopra, I did one in Sedona, Arizona, which is beautiful and really interesting and cool place. I've also did one at the Chopra Center in Carlsbad, California, which is right by the ocean. And Tony Robbins, I did a couple in Boca Raton and Palm Beach. So, yes, you combine it with also, you know, chilling out and spending some time by the pool or the beach. But also, you get to meet some really interesting people. And like I said before, you never know who you might meet, who could really change your life work-wise or relationship-wise. So those are really fun options.
One of my closest friends just came back from a 5-week trip to Peru, and he's very mm-hmm. handy. So what he went is he went on one of those missions where you work on a project for several days in the week. In this case, it was helping to build a kindergarten, the second floor of a kindergarten, and he would only work 3 days of the 7 days he's there, and therefore he had an opportunity to travel and see the countryside for the remaining 4 days of the week, and he got a full vacation and gave back at the same time. Are you talking about kinds of things like that?
Yes, absolutely. Volunteer vacations are becoming more popular. There's a whole bunch of organizations out there that offer quality experiences. And like you said, you know, you're not just having a good time, but you're also contributing. I mean, you could check out Biosphere Expeditions, for instance, or Global Citizens. Another one that I really like is the Pachamama Alliance. Pachamama goes down to Ecuador, to the rainforest, a couple of times a year, and they do the kind of trip that you just mentioned. You go to the to the jungle, basically, and you're out there for 10 or 12 days just living and, you know, just being there with the natives. And something as simple as that can really change your mindset and can eventually change your life.
Now, you have travel in your blood. I understand that you are from a family of three generations within the travel business. So I guess there was no way of escaping it for you, was there?
No, not at all. Yeah, three generations. My grandfather started in the travel business. He owned a very well-known hotel back in the day in Acapulco, where the cliff divers jump off the cliffs. And yeah, my family has been in the travel business for three generations.
So do you find that you have generally a different mindset that most people don't have about traveling? I mean, a lot of people seem to get anxious. There's anxiety about traveling just before you go. There's anxiety in the last few days if you're on your vacation about getting ready to go back home. And there just seems to be a lot of stress for people when it's supposed to be something that is stress relieving.
Yes, you know, especially since 9/11, travel has definitely changed, and it has become a little bit more stressful. I mean, it happens to me. I'm on the road all the time or on the air all the time. And, you know, going through security and customs, and especially when you're traveling across borders, visa issues and all of that, it has become more stressful, but that shouldn't really stop you. The stuff that you get out of a trip, especially if it's an international trip, it overweights the negative, you know, by 1,000%. So you should really step out there and go and find. One of the things that I really suggest is go after your passion. What do you like to do? What, you know, if you're watching TV, what type of shows do you like to watch that really triggers something inside of you? Or what's the kind of stuff that you dreamed of when you were a kid and that you never got to do? So now go out there and do that. If it was, you know, taking painting lessons or music lessons, learning how to sing, going to cook, I mean, for instance, in New Orleans, which has the most amazing food in the U.S., they actually have cooking lessons. You can go to the New Orleans School of Cooking and spend half a day there with the professional chefs, and then whatever you cook, that's your lunch. So, you know, there's all these things that you can do to learn new skills, spark your passion, spark creativity. And one other thing that's really important is, no, it doesn't matter how old you are. That you know, cliche about, oh, I'm too old for this, I'm too old to learn that, it's never too late. Especially now that life expectancy is just going up, and most likely all of us are going to live longer lives. What are you going to do with that long life? Learn to do things, and traveling is just a perfect opportunity to do so.
Now, you're advocating basically thinking outside the box when it comes to planning and taking a vacation. Do you think that perhaps maybe not enough travel agents are thinking this way as well to help people decide where they should go and how they should do it? That maybe there should be more travel agents thinking and talking like you?
Yes, I think so. I completely agree with you. Unfortunately, those travel agents that do specialize in this type of travel are usually the ones that also specialize in luxury travel. People are willing to pay very hefty amounts to have different experiences, but the fact is that you can also have a great experience, a life-changing experience, without spending that much. Sometimes it can even be going to a national park or state park or a provincial park near you. It could be, for instance, I'm a professional trade sommelier. It's something that I do as a hobby. But sometimes when I travel, I like to go to wine regions where not only can I have great wine, but it's more about the learning. It's about being there in the vineyards and talking to the winemakers and just learning all this history and geography and chemistry and everything. Then I know and I enjoy more what I'm drinking.
Fascinating ideas indeed, and hopefully it opens people's eyes and minds to perhaps a different kind of vacation that they can take. Marco, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us. It was great talking to you.
My pleasure. And, you know, if people want to ask questions or would like to have any suggestions for me, please email me at marco@thepowerofvacation.com.
Excellent. Thanks, Marco. Once again, that email address is marco@thepowerofvacation.com. That's Marco Aguilar, the president and CEO of TravelPie.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander Show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of the Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick. If you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's radio that puts a smile on your face and a skip in your step. Please avoid skipping if you are driving.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to the founder and owner of Golden Girls Jeans, plus Andrew Bozakis, the night sky guy, is back on the program to talk about space. Plus, we do indeed have an idiot of the day coming your way, and lots more Stuff File news right here, right now, on a program also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, The Smarter Way to listen to radio. Well, recent cases to add to the classic don't DIY files. Number one, Fred Horn of Columbus, Ohio, burned down his house in February trying to smoke the bed bugs out of his couch. Only that one piece of furniture caught fire, but carrying it out of the house, Horn got stuck in the doorway, and then the blaze spread. And number two, near Darwin, Australia. Yes, Darwin, Australia. That says so much, doesn't it? In February, an unnamed woman living in an RV came face to face with a snake and decided to encourage the serpent to leave by lighting a fire beneath the RV's floor. The vehicle was destroyed, but the police superintendent said, "We don't know what happened to the snake." Folks, seek professional help. And by that I mean to do things around your house. Don't DIY. It's not for you. Okay, and speaking of Australia, by the way, an Australian woman was denied bail after she allegedly squirted breast milk on a police officer's head, arms, and clothes. Authorities said 26-year-old Erica Leader of Callista, Western Australia, was being searched at the Fremantle police station after being arrested on an unspecified warrant. Police said Leader, who was nude from the waist up during the search, grabbed her own breast and squirted milk on the forehead, arms, and clothes of the female officer conducting the search. Leader later appeared in Fremantle Magistrates Court on the charge of assaulting a public officer. She was denied bail and ordered to undergo a mental health evaluation prior to her next court appearance. Now, the magistrate said a previous conviction for assaulting a police officer factored into the decision to deny bail. The Western Australian Police Union said the assault charge from this most recent incident was partially due to the possibility of spreading disease from the breast milk. So, she's probably going to jail. Well, I guess that's tit for tat. Now, when Stacy Valenzuela, who owns Concrete Solutions, a construction firm in Key West, Florida, listened to his voicemail, he quickly realized the caller had accidentally dialed his number. The caller, who he identified as employee David Ricky Fanuelson, age 39, and another man who he says was another employee, Dean Ellis Brown, age 22, We're talking about stealing equipment from the company to pay off a drug dealer. Valenzuela went to the job site and found the $7,000 worth of equipment described as their target was indeed gone. He called police, and Fanuelson and Brown have been arrested, charged with felony grand theft. This is a quote from Valenzuela. Talk about bumbling idiots. Yeah. Well, I do that actually every week on this program. And, by the way, that comes later. 63-year-old dentist Leopold Weinstein was arrested in February in Camarillo, California, and charged with suspicion of setting fire to three competing dental offices, one of them for the fourth time. One victim said the arsonist even drilled holes into the roof and poured in gasoline to accelerate the blaze. And later in February, in Hua Hin, Thailand, a 36-year-old woman was arrested for scattering screws on a busy street in order to increase business for her husband's tire shop. Wow, talk about some really stiff competition tactics, huh? And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, Paige Victoria Winslow, a gothic hip-hop performer known as Black Madam, who carried out buttocks enhancement procedures on the side, thousands, she bragged, by the way, using industrial-grade silicone and crazy glue to seal the injection site, was convicted in Philadelphia in March of third-degree murder in one patient, and I'm using air quotes when I say patient, whose silicone leaked into her lungs. During the trial, Winslow told the jury she had been called the Michelangelo of buttocks injections. Though the reigning overachiever still appears to be Ron O'Neill Morris, some of whose patients achieved higher booty circumference numbers, Morris is himself awaiting trial in Miami on manslaughter charges. Really? Really? Are there that many people literally making an ass of themselves because they want bigger asses? This has got to be the first sign of the apocalypse, honestly. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Warren Green is the founder and owner of Golden Girls Jeans, a Montreal-based company that is sold all over the world and is one of the largest jean companies for women 30+. Warren joins us on the line right now from right here in Montreal. Hi, Warren.
Hi, Peter. How's it going?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks for being on the program with us. Now, you have been in the apparel business for a long time, but when did you get this aha moment that you would service a particular niche world in the jeans world?
Well, 4 years ago, actually, it's very interesting. It was brought to my attention by my mother, even though I've been in this business 30 years and been making jeans from little kids right up to plus women. My mom had mentioned to me, you know, me and my friends, we go bowling, we go out, and we can't find jeans to fit us. Yeah, my mom's today is 87 years old. She was 83 at the time. And I said to myself, geez, there's a whole market out there that no one's catering to. And we looked into it, and we created a fabric. It took us about 6 months to create. And we created what's called a comfort jean. But lo and behold, the jean wasn't just for 50-plus. It actually started going into the 40 and the 30-plus because of the yoga influence. It's regular denim, but it's what's called a four-way stretch denim. There's no zippers on it. There's no buttons on it. You basically just pull them on. But on the other hand, they look exactly like jeans. And that's the beauty of the pants. So she actually, in her own little way, kind of put my head into that gear of coming out with jeans that could be a comfort jean but look like a regular jean. And that's when we knew that we really had something going.
Now, not only did you realize that you had something going with that, but you have celebrities who are in these things, right?
Correct. We were actually, this past January, invited to the Golden Globe Awards in the gifting area, not where our jeans were in bags. We actually were in a show where everyone is strictly by invitation, and we had all kinds of stars waiting in line. We gave away 100 pair of jeans. We've had stars send us pictures thanking us for giving them the jeans and where can they buy the jeans. And that, to me, I got to tell you, it put a smile on my face. It opened up another world to us.
Again, this is a business you've been in for a while, so you know the knocks and the complaints and the issues that people have with certain types of clothing. When you first came out with this plus 30, were you concerned, especially for women, were you concerned that you would be lumped into the negative terminology of mom jeans?
Well, you know what? Initially, our focus was to be a mom jean. And we knew that there was a whole market where you'd have someone for about 30 years as a customer. So was the fear there? No. My fear was actually getting a customer to wear a jean that wasn't your traditional jean. And that was my fear. But after our first test run, which was actually done in Texas, it was amazing. We couldn't handle, basically at the beginning, the demand for that jean. And that's, you know what, it turned from a fear into something that was amazing.
With your knowledge of the business and being in it so long, can you compare this to anything you've done in the past as far as the sudden acceptance of it and how well it's taken off? And did that surprise you?
You know, this actually is the only, what I'll call in my world, a home run. Not so much on the financial end, but on the growth, stability growth. Because all my other businesses cater to the mass market, the Walmarts of the world, and all of the lower-end customers, where basically you were at their mercy and you had to service them and they told you what to do and how to do it and what price you're going to be at. And this actually, for me, is the first time we have something where it's not that we dictate, but that we're doing what we want to do, and no one's telling us what to do. All we're getting back, the feedback is, we're happy with what you're doing, and that's the feedback from the consumer.
You mentioned earlier that the celebrities at the Golden Globes were asking the question, where can I get these? So let me ask that question. Where can you get these Golden Girls jeans?
First of all, anyone can buy the Golden Girls jeans online at our website, www.goldengirlclothing.com, which is a site that's kept up and constantly kept up to date. It's also, we only sell it to one other major, I'll call retailer, and it's not a retail store, it's the shopping channel. We're on their site. And everything else, we cater only to boutiques. This is a line where we wanted to give the boutiques an opportunity to benefit from something really, really good, and we didn't want to bastardize it and sell it to the mass market. And we are 100% against selling it to any mass retailers. So it could be reached in almost every city in the United States and in Canada. I can't, off the top of my head, name you names, but there's many, many places that it can be bought in within Canada or United States, for sure.
And as you say, it's a concerted effort on your part not to go into the big box retailers. Why exactly do you want to keep it in the boutique world?
Why? Because, you see, the big box retailer, once you're in there, you'll have a lifespan, and when they've had enough of you, you're done, no matter how good your product is, or they'll try to make something similar. Even though it is our brand, we own the name. And you know what? We have other businesses that are in that situation. And we don't. This is one business that I want to carry through where I feel the longevity is very, very long. And I don't want to be caught up into the world of the mass market for Golden Girls.
Now, this is an idea that came to you out of a necessity by your mom. So, first of all, your mom must be very proud.
Actually, my mom is really proud. And even though, you know, she's had it, you know, a tough life. She's, you know, done the route of, she was a single mom, and, you know, she had to, you know, work a couple of jobs to help us out and this and that when we were young. And actually, I have to tell you, my mom comes to work once a week. She's 87 right now, and she just gets a real kick out of being here. And actually, when customers do come into my place, they love her. They love talking to her because nothing goes through her head, you know, so she is very proud, and you know what, I believe, you know, you have to always give back, and you could never give back sometimes to what your parents do for you, and you don't realize it until things like this come about.
Now, let's talk about the retail price. You've mentioned where you can find it in the various boutiques. What do they sell for?
They sell anywhere between $75 and $120 a pair. And basically, we don't control the pricing because we give suggested retail pricing, but we don't control it. It's not like you've got to be at this price. But we do not, like, if someone says, well, they have a boutique and they're discounters, we don't allow it in those stores at all. We would like to keep it within the same range. We give suggestions, like, you know, either doubling up or some people triple up. That's their choice because they have different markets.
Now, when people think of jeans, they think of the denim, they think of blue. Do they come in any other color?
Sure, they come in blue, they come in black, they come in a medium blue. Plus, we also do them in colors. We have red, we got sand, we got black denim, not just denim, but black, the color black. And we also do them in, we have jeans, we have capris, we have skirts, we have pedal pushers. We've completely expanded, but it's all about the fit. It's the exact same construction. The waistband is the same. The whole fit is the same. So when a customer wears a specific size, they could wear it in any of the garments because it's the same fabric.
So again, it's Golden Girls Jeans, and people can find the website online, and the website is?
www.goldengirlclothing.com.
Warren, thank you very much for being on the program with us. Innovative idea. They always say that necessity is the mother of invention. In your case, it was your mother.
Peter, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity, and thank you for including me on your show.
Warren Green, founder and owner of Golden Girls Jeans. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for the show, which is show number 0293, and you'll find the links to the company. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRigo Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. With weather turning warmer, many kids want to start riding their bikes to school. And why not? Cycling is not only great fun, it's healthy. But some school districts across the country have actually banned biking to and from school. The reason? Officials point to safety concerns and an underlying fear that they'll be sued if a child is injured while riding their bike to or from school. A national organization that promotes bicycling estimates that restrictive school policies act as a barrier to children biking to school for more than 8 million American families. But are these policies really better for the school and students? Well, that's debatable. The group has published a report that indicates bike bans may actually expose a school to more liability than letting kids ride. Let's be fair, safety and bike riding can go together. Thoughtful policies that allow students to bike to school not only respect parental rights, they provide needed options for families and support student health and educational success too. Learn more. Visit our website at centerforamerica.org.
Hi, this is Wynonna Judd, and you probably don't think of me as a person with an eating disorder, but here's my truth. Eating disorders are real, and they are not just about losing weight. Eating disorders are the way you feel about your body and the way you treat yourself. For years, I have been a compulsive overeater, and it wasn't until its effects threatened my health, my family, and my career that I finally reached out for help. Recovering from an eating disorder is possible, and I'm living proof. But you have to take the first step, so I urge you to visit nationaleatingdisorders.org.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. In the interest of time, kindly hold your applause until the entire program is over.
And still to come on the program, Andrew Vazekas, the Night Sky Guy, is back on the show. Plus, we do indeed have an idiot of the day. But right here, right now, I got a couple more Stuff File news stories for your listening pleasure. On a program also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, a man who co-owns a wrestling-themed restaurant in Chicago with his wife, a former WWE star, used his own moves to take down an armed man at the business. Lee Varon, who co-owns the Squared Circle with his wife, Lisa Marie Varon, who performed in the WWE as Victoria, said a server told him at about 9:30 p.m. one Saturday night that a young man in the eatery was behaving strangely. Varon said the man walked into the women's bathroom before walking into the kitchen and telling him he was being pursued by men with guns. He said some guys with guns were chasing him, but I thought, if guys with guns were really chasing you, then you shouldn't be out front, Varon said. I escorted him back into the kitchen, and he was immediately combative with me. Varon said he took action when the man appeared to be reaching for a weapon in his pants. Security camera footage from the restaurant shows Varen wrestle the suspect into submission. Lee said one of his cooks was able to get the suspect's gun. My chef pulled the gun out of the kid's pants and said, "Where do I put it?" I said, "On the table." He said, "Where?" I said, "Next to the sprinkles." And just hearing putting the gun next to the sprinkles is not something you say on a daily basis, Lee said. 18-year-old Arnez Harper was arrested on charges of possession of a controlled substance, battery, aggravated assault, and unlawful use of a weapon. Okay, I'm going out on a limb to say that someone who attempts to rob a wrestling-themed restaurant probably hasn't really thought this whole concept through. Maybe at some point he could have been the idiot of the day on this program, but he's not because, well, that comes later. Stay tuned. And what is it with people's fascination with owls these days? We have a couple of stories that kind of highlight this. Number one, a motorist smashed into a power pole, at 2 a.m. on February 25th in Tukwila, Washington, because, he explained, he was chasing an owl. Now, police somehow found him to be sober and did not charge him. Gee, you'd think, at the very least, that reckless driving would apply here, but I don't know. And number two, a bar called Annie the Owl was scheduled for a special one-week event in London for patrons to sip drinks while domesticated owls perch on their shoulders. Interest was so keen that a lottery was required for tickets. That's just plain freaky stuff, isn't it? Yeah. Wow, it's out of this world. And speaking of out of this world, what a segue. Let's get to our next guest here on the program, shall we? Have you already booked your one-way ticket to Mars? Well, don't be so quick to pack your bags. According to a former Canadian astronaut, your travel plans might not be a sound idea. We're about to talk about that and perhaps some other items with Andrew Vizekas, the night sky guy and a member of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada. He joins us via Skype-to-Skype communications from right here in Montreal. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Peter.
So, you haven't booked your ticket yet for Mars?
No, not this one. I'm still waiting to see how this all pans out with this company.
Okay, the company you were talking about, this is the Mars One project, right?
This is a European foundation. It's a non-profit foundation, actually, a Dutch organization. And the whole idea here is that they're trying to get recruit astronauts from the general public for a one-way mission. Basically, you get a one-way ticket with this to go to Mars and then set up a colony there.
So basically, it sounds like a bad reality show, and in reality, it is.
In reality, it is a reality show. At least that's what they're trying to launch here, in a sense. The whole idea is that, of course, it costs a tremendous amount of money to launch such a mission and to pay for everything. And they're looking at paying it through having a reality show filming the entire adventure. And so that's how at least funding, at least for a large part of it, would be through a television production company that would sign on and then broadcast this multi-year adventure.
Now, one of the things, first of all, what is the timetable that this company purports to putting this all into motion and sending men and women into orbit and off to Mars?
Well, they would like to launch the first crew of four sometime around 2024, 2026 timeframe, and then a new crew after that, and over a regular 3-4 year period, there'd be more people following and follow-up missions.
And isn't this where Julie Payette, the former Canadian astronaut, comes in? Isn't she basically saying that this isn't feasible? We don't have the technology to pull this off in that time frame.
Yeah, I mean, she basically she poured cold water over the entire plans just this past week. While giving a talk at a symposium in Montreal, she commented on this plan and said basically, quote, that no one is going anywhere in 10 years, and I think pretty much sums up the thoughts of, I think, most people in the space community at large around the world, that they're very skeptical on their capabilities, this foundation's capability of pulling something like this off. I mean, we're talking about technical, financial, and logistic hurdles that are immense. I mean, even for an entire nation's government, like NASA in the United States, is almost impossible for them to pull something off without international support. So, you know, they're just, I think it's natural to be skeptical. And there's actually a lot of other things, like, you know, do they have a contract in place with a rocket company? There's no sign of that. I mean, you have to have hardware to take your astronauts there. Financially, too, I mean, getting back to that, estimates run somewhere upwards of $100 billion just for one mission. I mean, even if you'd say, well, the astronauts are not returning back to Earth, and you just say, well, they're just going to set up camp there, and you'd save some money with that. Still, we're talking, you know, tens of billions, if not $100 billion, just to do something similar to that. Where is that money coming from? And there's no sign of a reality show contract. There's no broadcast company that has actually, you know, production company that has actually signed anything that we know of at this point to film and to fund this.
Well, first of all, who are these people? And the people I'm referring to is, who are the folks behind Mars One?
Well, I mean, it's basically a brainchild of an engineer, a Dutch engineer, and you know, he's very enthusiastic about this idea of bringing Mars to the masses. And I think, look, I mean, I give kudos to the idea that, you know, it's getting folks, the general public, really excited and pumped about Mars exploration. And I think that's really commendable. But you know, even, you know, they say that they've hired people from NASA, space agency, European Space Agency, who are consultants, who are their medical advisors, medical officers, doing some of the screening of potential astronaut candidates. Even with, you know, that kind of people, that's still, there's a lot of missing elements that are there. And there's also some things that have come out in the last couple of weeks, where leaks from candidates who have been downselected there, saying a few things that are fishy in terms of how selection processes work. So I think it's rightful that people are skeptical. But on the other hand, I have to say that, you know, if it's bringing it is bringing attention to the idea of humans going to Mars, and, you know, the idea getting the masses interested in it is a good thing. If we really eventually want to go, the public has to buy into it.
Well, you did mention it was a Dutch engineer who started all this, and we should mention also the fact that the Dutch are pioneers in reality television. That's where most of the reality shows originated from that we see nowadays Americanized and Canadianized for our own consumption. Well, what about your ideas? What about your thoughts? The problem I kind of have with this is that space exploration has usually been left to a certain degree pilots and aviators, and to another degree, especially with the last Apollo mission to the moon, scientists. And just the idea of sending ordinary people up there, is that a good idea?
Well, you know, it's good idea. I mean, you can't, you know, we're so far behind. The reality is that we're so far behind in our technological capability that it just does not make sense. I mean, you talk to astronauts like Julie Payette, that's why she's, you know, pretty much shaking her head about this. And she's a veteran. She's been through the training. She's been into space. She knows what she's talking about. And so are, you know, all the hundreds of other astronauts that are out there. I would think they would agree, because, you know, technologically, there's just so much we need to learn about long-term spaceflight, human spaceflight. We're just in the infancy of really exploring how we could live and work long-term in space. I mean, it's a whole other ballgame, you know, difference in ballgame when you're talking about going to the space station, you know, and then just in a matter of weeks, we'll be actually launching our first 1 year kind of mission that an American and Russian astronaut will be staying on board for over a year, start collecting data, biological data about themselves and how the body reacts to long-term space flight. That's still peanuts compared to going to Mars. Just getting to Mars, we have to remember, takes 6 to 9 months with our current technology. Then we want to stay there for maybe a few more months. And then, of course, the return journey back. We're talking about at least 2 year mission here. And you're leaving the confines of Earth's magnetic field as well as the protectiveness of our magnetosphere that helps shield us from a lot of the cosmic radiation, the solar radiation that a human would be exposed on any interplanetary journey. These are things that we're just now starting to comprehend, and it's going to influence how we actually construct spaceships, you know, for the future. It's how to protect our astronauts. Other things, like, fine, we want to go to Mars. How are we going to survive on Mars? You know, that's another aspect. Recycling the air, breathing breathable oxygen, having water. Not just to drink, but also irrigate our gardens. We're going to need to grow our own food. How do we do that on a reliable everyday basis? A lot of this stuff. I mean, you know, Peter. You know, you listen to what happens on the space station. It gives you an indication. A large part of the day for astronauts are taken up with maintenance of the space station, making sure that everything's in working order. And if there's a problem, every few weeks, there's a mission that can bring up, extra tools or replacement parts. You can't do that on a mission to Mars. You're on your own. You know, there's no emergency call that you can make. And so a lot of redundancy has to be built into the technology. So these are things that we're just in the infancy doing proof of concepts in laboratories around the world. I don't see us being ready in 10 years to launch a colonizing mission yet.
And to me, it just brings new meaning to the term lost in space.
That's really? Right. You know, I try to look. I'm a half glass full kind of guy, and I look at it that it is definitely capturing people's imagination. And one thing I have to say is, look, we are talking about it, you and I, right now, and this has been a huge buzz in the news for the last couple of years since they announced it, because it's captured people's imagination. They love the idea. They're fascinated with the idea that humans going onto another planet. And the fact is, we are an adventurous species. We like to push the boundaries of frontiers. And if you see what some of the greatest minds have said in the last couple of years, that humans have to get off this planet. The survivability of our species will depend on us colonizing other worlds. Because if there's a disaster that befalls our planet, all our eggs are in one basket right now. And you talk to folks like Stephen Hawking or Elon Musk, they've recognized the fact that it's to our advantage as a species to get off this planet and colonize other places. So, you know, I look at it that way, that this is really a call to action in a sense, bringing the awareness to that, you know, this is something that's important for us to do. But this might not, Mars One may not be the way to actually get it done.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. People can find you how?
Well, they can visit me on my website, of course, thenightskyguy.com. They can also read my weekly sky-watching articles at National Geographic News. And, of course, on Yahoo Canada, I write a daily science column, and they can check all my news out every day.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
My pleasure. Clear skies.
Andrew Vizekas, the Night Sky Guy. You can check out his website at thenightskyguy.com. And, of course, you'll find the link on my website, at thestufffile.com. Just go to the What's On page for the show, which is show number 0293, and you'll find the link. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the Strange Things Adults Do. The Stuff File presents the Idiot of the Day.
The driver of a stolen car jumped out and ran and thus got away from police in Madera, California. Officers fanned out and spotted the possible suspect, a Hispanic man who in the meantime had grabbed a can of spray paint and sprayed his face black. He was trying to hide against the white wall, so he really stood out, said Police Sergeant Dan Foss. 23-year-old Jose Espinoza is kind of a frequent flyer, well known to officers for previous arrests, Foss said, perhaps explaining Espinoza's desire for a disguise. He had the keys for the stolen car in his pocket, and the paint can was also recovered. Espinoza has been charged with possession of a stolen vehicle and possession of stolen property. Wow. Where do I begin? Well, first of all, I can't imagine why spray painting your face black wouldn't help you elude police because, as everybody knows, the police never pay attention to black people. But doing it against a white wall? Admit it, Jose. You're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program number 0293. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0293. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder, and don't forget to check out the Stuff File store where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJ Media and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded in iTunes and Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCore in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Guests of the Stuff File program stay at their own homes. Trust me, I'm the voice for this program. I know there's no budget for accommodations. I'm reading this on a futon.